Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
All right, welcome back for week three of a message series called Unstoppable. We're talking about what God wants in the world and what God is doing in the world. And if you missed weeks one and two, maybe you kind of weren't here for that material, it might occur to you to ask, how can we know that? How could I claim to know what God is about and what God wants and what God is doing? Well, what we covered in weeks one and two is that we can know what God is about and what God is doing because God reveals himself to us. God does not want to remain hidden. He shows himself to us. He does that in lots of different ways, but there are two primary methods that he uses constantly. God reveals himself to us in what has been made, and he reveals himself to us in what has been written. In creation and in the scriptures, God shows us what he wants and what he's about. It's why you're drawn to nature the way you are. It's why we in record numbers are drawn to our national parks, to these places that resize us. Even something as simple as going to the beach, and I know we're all looking forward to a day when life gets back to normal. Maybe by summer we'll get to go back to the beach in large numbers again. But part of why we go to the beach isn't just so we can catch a tan and play in the waves. It's because the ocean has a way of resizing us, reminding us that we are not at the center. And as we look at creation, and as we look at the scripture, when we look at what has been made, and we look at what has been written, there is a theme. There is, in fact, an ordinate theme, a big macro level theme, a theme to which all other themes are subordinate, and that one overarching ordinate theme that we see in creation and in scripture is the glory of God. It's the story of how amazing he is. God has been from the dawn of time and will be until the end of time telling the story of how amazing he is. We, during our brief little window of time on this planet, get to play a part in what God is doing. We get to be a part of his amazing story. Now, last week, we dove in a little bit and we started talking about how God is actually centered on himself, that God is self-centered. And we talked about how that's actually a really good thing. Bad idea if it's you, bad idea if it's me, bad idea to be self-centered if your name is anything other than the Lord. But if your name is the Lord, then you actually are the only thing in all of the cosmos worth centering on. And if God is the one thing in all the cosmos worth centering on, then when God centers on himself, he's not being arrogant. That is actually the most loving thing that he can do. Because as God centers on himself, he invites all of us to center on the one thing in the cosmos worth centering on. Him. Now this messes with us because we're not used to that. We're not used to that kind of speech. We're not used to hearing that God is self-centered. In point of fact, we much prefer it if God is centered on us. We would much rather God be centered on our situations and on our problems. We much prefer it when God is pondering how to keep us comfortable and keep us happy. We much prefer it when God is mostly about how to make sure we experience no problems and have no issues. And in our worldview, we are at the center. The trouble is, our worldview doesn't always line up properly with the worldview we find lined out for us in the scriptures. In other words, let me say it differently. It's easy in church, or in this case, in your living room, but as the church, as one church in many locations, it's easy embedded within a worship service to agree with this concept intellectually, theoretically. It's easy to say, okay, I kind of get that. And now if you haven't bought into it, that's okay. Some of you are out there and you're like, eh, I still got to wrestle through this. This still seems foreign to me. But especially for those of you who've been going to church for a long time, you may be sitting there in your living room going, okay, I buy it. I get it. I see what he's saying. Amen. He's bringing it. Man, you know, just because we're on the couch doesn't mean he's going easy on us. The pastor's kind of bringing some heavy theology. I like it. I'm with it. It's easy in church, and it's easy in a church service context to agree with this and say, yes, of course, God's glory is at the center. Of course, God is at the center of the universe, and I am not. It's easy to agree intellectually and to nod in assent now. It is a different proposition altogether when pain finds its way to our life. When we struggle, when we hurt, it's different. Because what comes up out of us in those moments is not just, oh God, why is this happening to me? Please take it away. Ow, this really hurts. Could you please, you know, visit this upon somebody else? Sometimes those things rise up in us. That's sort of a normal response. But you may have observed in your life, as I have observed in mine, that sometimes when suffering and pain visits our life, we don't just say, ow, daddy, could you please take this away? Sometimes what we say is, hey, what gives? This isn't right. I don't deserve this. Surely there's somebody else out there who's worse than me who deserves to have this thing visit their life. And isn't it your job, God? We don't say this verbally, but we sort of think it. Isn't it your job to protect me? Isn't it your job to make sure that these things don't find their way to my life? The truth is, team, we all prefer preferential treatment. We all prefer the hookup. Everybody likes a hookup, yeah? Everybody likes to know a guy. I remember recently I remember back when people could get on planes. I was getting on a plane a few months ago, and I was running a little late, and I was flying on Southwest Airlines, which is kind of my go-to airline. And I didn't get there. I was worried I was not going to get there in time. And when I got to the gate, I found that the gate agent actually attended True North. And I was never so happy to have somebody go, Pastor Burt, right this way, I'm gonna pre-board you. And I was like, oh, it was like the greatest moment ever. Right there, I was like, you know what I got in that moment? I got preferential treatment. And I probably should have said, no, that's all right. I'll be the last one on the plane because that's what I deserve. And I didn't. I took the treatment and I said, thank you. It's nice to know somebody. I was very excited, very honored. And you know who you are. And mwah, thank you. But we all prefer preferential treatment. We all prefer the hookup. The trouble is, sometimes when pain visits us, when suffering visits us, when a pandemic strikes our world, and some of us are sick, or some of our loved ones are sick, or when we're out of work and we can't pay our bills, and when real suffering and real difficulty visits our life, we have it in us to go, hey, what gives? Where's my hookup? I thought you and I were close. It's in moments like this that we are reminded that we are not at the center. And scripturally, to revisit, we're going to look back at a few verses that we taught on right around this time last year. if you have been with our church for a while, you might know, we spent a good bit of last year working our way through the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, we find the story of Lazarus. Now, we don't have time today to unpack the whole story of Lazarus, so here's the very short version, just in case you weren't here last year. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. He is, in fact, the only person in the entire New Testament who is referred to strictly as Jesus' friend. In other words, he wasn't an apostle, he wasn't a disciple, he was just Jesus' dude. And Lazarus, okay, to bring it into modern terms, comes down with the coronavirus. And Lazarus, as it happens, has a pre-existing medical condition which makes him very susceptible. So Lazarus gets sick, very sick, like sick to the point of death. Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, who are also friends with Jesus, send word. And they're concerned because their brother's very sick, but then again, they're not that concerned because they know a guy. They know a guy. Jesus is that guy. Jesus heals strangers. Jesus heals people that aren't even in the same zip code as he is at the moment. Jesus heals all kinds of people. Obviously, Jesus is going to heal Lazarus. In their worldview, there's no way this doesn't happen. Except, that's not what happened. Not only does Jesus not rush to Lazarus' bedside, and not only does Jesus not heal him at a distance, he intentionally delays his arrival because Lazarus actually isn't at the center of the plan. God's glory is at the center of the plan. Listen to these verses from the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 11, beginning at verse 4. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God. I, the Son of God, will receive glory from this. Although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days and did not go to them. That's tough. This is hard, okay? Lazarus was in the ground 4 days. Lazarus was in the ground longer than Jesus was. For 4 days, Mary and Martha just had to have assumed that God had forgotten them. That Jesus just straight up didn't care. You ever felt like God didn't care? Some of you are having a moment like that right now. You're in the middle of that season. And you're starting to feel like maybe God doesn't see you, or doesn't care about you, or doesn't love you. And none of those things are true. God sees you, God cares about you, and God loves you. But because God loves you, he doesn't center on you. He centers on himself, on his own glory, and he invites you to play a part in his story. So for 4 days, Mary and Martha find themselves in the valley, in the space between the event and the understanding of it. That's where we are as a society. Asking why. Why did this happen? Why did this have to happen? And especially right now, right? For some of you, you run a business and you're like, man, our business was just starting to take off and then this. We were just starting to get back on track and now this. We were just getting over this other thing and now this. Why now? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening in our society? Is this an indication that God has abandoned us or doesn't love us? Look it, this is not an indication that God has abandoned us or doesn't love us. And as to the why, let me hit you directly. Why is this happening? I don't know. Anybody that claims to know is either way arrogant or selling something. But here's what I'm sure of. Here's what I'm certain of. Here's what I know, like I know my own name. God is going to glorify himself in this situation. Bank on it. God is going to glorify his name in this crisis. He is already doing so. Watch for the ways that he will. Play the part you've been given to play. Just because there is suffering in the part we've been given to play doesn't mean God has abandoned us. Mary and Martha were not abandoned. Jesus loved them, but it says right there, even though he loved them, he did not go do right what they wanted him to do, right when he wanted him to do it. Part of God's plan for them was for that window of time that they struggle and that they suffer. And I wish it wasn't so. I wish it wasn't so for them. I'm sorry they had to go through it. I'm sorry I have to go through what I'm going through. I'm sorry you have to go through what you're going through. But the truth is, neither Mary, nor Martha, nor Lazarus, nor me, nor you are at the center of the universe. God's glory is at the center of the universe, and he will glorify his name in this as we play the part he's given us to play in his amazing story. Some of this, part of this has to do with self-esteem, yeah? There's a lot of attention being paid to these days to self-esteem, to how we regard ourselves. And I honestly don't think that's a problem. There are some of us for whom that's a problem. There are some of us for whom self-esteem is a real issue, and you don't esteem yourself properly. There are some of you for whom, and some of us for whom at times, to follow the great commandment would be a mistake, right? So you've heard love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second part of it, to love your neighbor as yourself. There are some for whom that would be a bad idea, because to love your neighbor as you love yourself would mean you don't love your neighbor at all. For some, to love your neighbor as yourself would mean you would hate your neighbor because you tend to hate yourself. So if that's you, self-esteem is an issue. But for most of us, our problem is not that we don't esteem ourselves properly. Our issue is that we don't esteem the Lord properly. We don't believe that he is altogether unstoppable in what he plans to do. We haven't fully bought into the idea that he is going to fill the earth as the waters fill the sea with the knowledge of how amazing he is. Just haven't quite swallowed that yet. So for us, as we wrestle and as we struggle, what do we do? How do we live? How are we supposed to get through our days now in quarantine mode, right? Let's say for a minute, for the sake of argument, let's say for a minute that I've convinced you, right? Now, I know some of you, you're still wrestling with this because it's deep intellectual content. For some of you, it may take, I would never intentionally try to subject you to more than one or viewing of one of my messages. But for me, this took several go-arounds to kind of absorb into me. So for some of you, this may take a little while before it really sinks in. But let's say for the sake of argument that I convinced you and you're there going, okay, I buy it. I get it. I'm not at the center. My life is to glorify God. This fits right in with what you always say. You always say live an outward life, honor God, love others, serve all. What do I do? How do I honor God in the midst of this difficult situation? How do I honor God in quarantine? How do I honor God when my business is failing or when I'm out of a job? How do I honor God in my day-to-day life trying to homeschool my children who are driving me crazy? For this, I want to dial in to one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Here it is. Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, you must do all for the glory of God. Whatever you eat or whatever you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You may notice the scripture doesn't say, okay, stop doing this and start doing this that you may glorify God. Cease this behavior and begin this behavior, and then God will be glorified in your life. That is not what the verse says. Now, there's some of us, some things going on in our life that we need to have ceased. Some of you, there's some stuff you're doing that you need to stop doing. For example, hoarding toilet paper. Okay, again, knock it off. But that's not inherently sinful behavior. There's others of us, there's some stuff going on in our life, and you know and I know that has to stop. Do I even have to say anything else about that? I don't think I do. I think that kind of preaches itself. That's a whole other sermon. If you're doing some stuff in your life you ought not to be doing, knock it off. But that's not what this verse is speaking to. This verse isn't saying stop this and start this, do this and don't do this. This verse says whatever you do, whatever you're eating, whatever you're drinking, whatever you're already doing, do it to the glory of God, which is to say that as you live your life, whether a normal day at work or in quarantine, whether it's a normal day at school for your kids or whether you're homeschooling them, whether you're eating out at restaurants or you're eating at home, whatever you're eating, drinking, doing, whatever is going on in your life, those things can be done with you at the center, or those things can be done with God at the center. Do those things with God at the center. So for example, today, perhaps you ate breakfast. And if you're at the center of your life and everything's rotating around you, when you eat your breakfast, you're kind of just focused on what you're taking in. And if you're like me, you're probably watching social media or listening to the news as you go and not even paying attention. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But you've not been mindful of God. What if you sat down with your bowl of cereal or your bagel or your whatever it is you're eating and you were actually grateful and you let breakfast be something that propelled you into praising God? And what if, as you listen to the news, you allowed every new item that you hear to propel you into prayer? What if as you walk the earth and did all the things that filled your day, each individual thing, every interaction, every moment, everything that you got to do was another thing that reminded you of how amazing God is? What if gratitude started coming up in you like a fountain? Wouldn't that be amazing? And isn't it possible that that could be, even in the midst of a situation like this, don't we all still have a ton to be grateful for? You want to glorify God with your life. Let every single blessing that you have propel you into praising him. Let every object that you touch, let everything, every person, every moment be another chance to remember how amazing he is. And you'll stay present with him, mindful of him, and aware throughout the day that he's at the center, not you. Every service we have here, we conclude with a short hymn from the early church called the Doxology. The words go like this: praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That song reminds us. That's how we want to send you out every week. Praise him, all creatures here below. That's us. We're telling every tree, every animal, every person, every living thing, praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. We're telling you, angels, keep on praising him. Everybody, just keep on praising him. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We send you out with that every week, the doxology. That word is a strange word. It's Greek. Doxa means glory, and logi means word. Logos means word. So the doxology is the glory words, or differently translated, the glory talk. We send you out of here every single Sunday because we want the glory talk to be on your lips. You want to glorify God in all that you do, all day long. Let the glory talk be ever on your lips. This is not an easy time to be alive. We're all struggling and we're all hurting, but God is still sovereign. He's still on the throne, and he's still got this, and he's still got you. Play the part you've been given to play in his amazing story. Live an outward bound life. Honor God. Love others and serve all, and you will be amazed at how much easier it is to get through difficulties. And with that, I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we love you. And we thank you that we're not at the center. Even though there's a part of us that wants to be, even though there's like this chunk of us that wants to be right at the center of everything, we want you to arrange for our every need and our every want. Father, we know in our bones. If you gave us everything we wanted, whenever we wanted it, we'd be no different than any other spoiled child. We thank you, Father, that we're not at the center, that you are, that your glory is the ordinate thing in all of creation, and that we get to play a part in what you are doing. Father, may we play it well, glorifying you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray together in Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.